This is Voices of Our World. I'm your host, Eileen Bott. Today, we reflect on the past year and present some of our favorite guests from 2005.
Quality of health.
Physically, every day, making a change by eliminating those toxins that are potentially dangerous to our children.
For most of us, quality of life issues are of great importance. Are our children getting a good education? Are we getting enough exercise? Is our home warm enough? Are we eating well? Deirdre Imus, wife of radio host Don Imus, asks what harmful additives are being introduced into our food or other products we use daily. Here's Deirdre Imus, founder and director of the Deirdre Imus Foundation.
Food taught me a lot, because from food you start discovering everything else. Like, we're all consumers, so we start looking into all products, personal care products, and I started seeing all the chemicals in the list of carcinogens and neurotoxins and hormone disruptors that are actually allowed in all of our personal care products and baby products. Same with building materials. How food is grown, the organic versus the non-organic. To me, this is just all common sense when you have this knowledge, and then I wanted to apply it to how we should be addressing putting our children first to not expose them unnecessarily to all of these toxins that are making them potentially sick. Our mission here at the Environmental Center is to identify and control and ultimately prevent environmental factors that may cause adult and especially pediatric cancers and other illnesses. Of course, the whole umbrella of protecting our children, putting our children first, truly though. And I feel we've been a good example so far because we're physically doing by implementing greening the cleaning, educating and making people aware, and physically every day making a change by eliminating those toxins that are potentially dangerous to our children. The EPA did a 5-year study, for example, of cleaning products that were dispersed indoors. And they found that many of them became up to 200 times more toxic indoors than outdoors. And it was because of their inability to be dispersed. That gives you an example of the potential and how important it is to create a healthy environment indoors. I mean, these days, a lot of it, starting with the cleaning products, is easy. Just get rid of those and implement non-toxic ones. So what I tell people is you start with one thing. And that's what I do. Every day, I try to make another change, one more thing. So for example, a lot of people like to start with food. I've said to mothers often, what is one food every day your child has to eat? For example, apples. Well, apples, they're actually at the top of the list of the most heavily sprayed with pesticides and carcinogens and neurotoxins. Make that apple an organic apple. Make that one change. And if your kid eats an apple every single day and you make that one change, how much healthier are you making your child? You're preventing him from being exposed to all those toxins on a daily basis that he normally would have been. I know with our Greening the Cleaning product line, we've implemented in over 20 hospitals, Newark Airport, over almost a dozen schools now, the Newark school systems we're working with. To date, we have saved everybody money, 3% to 75%. It's cost effective. They work as well as the leading brands, all the famous toxic leading brands out there. The efficacy is there. And the switch is easy. There's nothing you have to change in your life. You're just, instead of buying this product, you're buying this product. That's how simple it is. In fact, we've, to date, with our Greening the Cleaning program, 98,800 pounds of toxins have been eliminated from the environment. So again, this is just common sense.
Quality of safety.
6 kilograms of plutonium destroyed Nagasaki. And we're now trying to stop a plant up in northern Japan that can separate out 8 tons of plutonium a year.
We're all concerned about safety. Yours, mine, our families, and the safety of our communities. We hope that government will make good decisions when it comes to things like nuclear weapons and nuclear power plants. We speak with the director of Green Action in Kyoto, Japan, Eileen Miyoko Smith.
What's happening right now is that Japan's trying to use plutonium now instead of uranium for energy. 6 kilograms of plutonium destroyed Nagasaki. And we're now trying to stop a plant up in northern Japan that's about to operate that can separate out 8 tons of plutonium a year to be used by companies. And if it starts, it will open up a new era for the world where these nuclear weapon-capable materials will be used by countries that haven't had nuclear weapons before, and it'll be used by companies and then there's the electric utilities of these countries. That's real proliferation, and we want to stop that. It's like taking the genie out of the bottle. It will never go back to a world where we're free of nuclear weapons because all this material will be out in commerce. It's supposed to be, you know, guarded and everything like that. But when you're separating out massive quantities, you can't help but have an accountancy problem where several bombs worth are not trackable. You just have to figure, oh, well, they're a good country, so we trust them. Well, that's not the way to operate. The way to operate is to have nobody be allowed to use this material. And so we're trying to stop Japan from opening up this Pandora box. I mean, we have a big enough headache trying to get the nuclear weapon states like the United States and all the other countries that have nuclear weapons to abolish them. We don't want to take the next step and spread this material around all over the world.
Quality of equality.
A lot of how people get hurt class-wise is the sense that we're not good enough.
It is commonly believed that everyone can achieve the American dream and that the U.S. has an upwardly mobile society. We speak with Felice Yaskel, co-director of Class Action, about questioning class assumptions.
Part of why it's hard to talk about class in the United States is we don't have a very well-established vocabulary, and we don't have a commonly understood definition. When I use the term class, I think of class as having to do, yes, with economics, with issues of income and wealth, but also with issues of status and power. Different people understand different ones of those being more or less important. But I think every place has that kind of hierarchy, and whether it's tied to money or it's tied to land ownership or position in a political party, that sense of power and differential access to power, I think, exists everywhere. A lot of how people get hurt class-wise, especially poor and working-class people, is the sense that we're not good enough. And we walk around with a lot of shame. A lot of feeling that we're not smart enough, we're not good enough, because, you know, the way the Puritan ethic works, by definition, if we were, we wouldn't be in the economic position we're in.
Quality of representation.
Rather than just complaining about the religious right, it's time for progressive people of faith to organize and mobilize.
In this segment, we revisit the discussion about politics and religious values. Jim Wallace is the founder and editor-in-chief of Sojourners Magazine and the author of God's Politics, Why the Right Gets It Wrong and the Left Doesn't Get It. Here's Jim Wallace.
Every major social movement in America's history has been fueled and driven, at least in part, by religion. Abolition of slavery, women's suffrage, child labor law reform, and of course, most famously, civil rights. So we have a proud tradition, and when the left just ignores that or almost denies it or disdains it, and this isn't true of everyone, so many people become almost, I would call them secular fundamentalists, like the religious fundamentalists, and they're opposed almost to any kind of expression of religion or faith in public life, and that's a serious mistake. The biggest mistake the left has made in these last few decades is conceding the whole territory of religion and values to the religious and political right. They've had the freedom to define religion any way they wanted to, and they've done so in a very partisan and ideological way, saying there are only two moral values issues, abortion, gay marriage, that's it. They've gotten away with it in part because the left has conceded that territory to them. But what's important is now, and I see it happening around the country, that there is another kind of religious voice. A lot of people, I think, saw the way religion was used and abused, I would say, during the election. And in the media, they see only one point of view represented. And in the White House, they see a kind of a White House theology, almost a theology of war, a language of righteous empire way too often, and this sense of a divine mission for a country and president in a war on terrorism. And they say, wait, that's not my faith. I've got faith too. Those aren't my values. And so I'm meeting all these people across the country. We're having town meetings disguised as book signings. Every time we have these sessions, thousands are showing up, and they're very diverse. And it's sort of the rise of the non-religious right. That's not much of a name for a movement, but that's what I hear, that word, movement, all the time. So rather than just complaining about the religious right, it's time for progressive people of faith to organize and mobilize.
Quality of chance.
And we had an amazing meeting in which they each shared their own stories of going to jail for a cause, and we were really able to dialogue the whole situation of the School of the Americas.
Murphy's Law, fate, karma, whatever you call the factors that sway our lives, Mary Nole missioner Lisa Sullivan Rodriguez offers us a story about a meeting between Chavez, the president of Venezuela, and Father Roy Bourgeois.
I had gotten word from Roy Bourgeois that he really wanted to start reaching out to some Latin American governments to ask them to not send troops to the School of the Americas. And when he contacted me, I said, I don't know what I could do. But we were able to get a meeting with the vice president, and immediately after they held a press conference. And Roy expressed in that press conference the hope that he was seeing in the barrios of Venezuela. And the reason he had come was to ask the president to not send troops to the SOA. And I got a call from the president 5 minutes later saying that he happened to see us on TV and invited us to his national television show, which is the most watched show in the country. It's called Alo Presidente. It's on every Sunday. So he approached us for the TV show and invited us to a private meeting, Roy and I. And we went the next day, and he was waiting for us. He'd been meeting with some generals first, I guess, to make sure he had the clear picture how many troops they had at the SOA currently. And we had an amazing meeting of, I'd say, about an hour and a half in which they each shared their own stories of going to jail for a cause, and Roy and Chavez, and we were really able to dialogue the whole situation of the School of the Americas. And he said that he would get back to us. And he did. About a month later, I was notified that they'd made the decision to no longer send troops. So it was a very joyous occasion for us to feel that a president of a Latin American nation had heard this message and realized this school, which is supposedly helping their countries, really had been doing the opposite. It's the first country which has said, we will not send troops to this school of assassins.
So was there a show segment last year you particularly enjoyed? Or maybe a subject we didn't address that you want us to touch on? Email us. Go to our website, www.voicesofourworld.org. Just click on Contact Us. Or call us at 877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 877-MARYKNOLL. Well, that's all for this week, and thanks for listening. Naomi Klein, Paul Rykoff, Herbert Reed, Howard Zinn, Deirdre Imus, Eileen Miyoko Smith, Felicia Skell, Jim Wallace, and Lisa Sullivan Rodriguez are just some of the voices of our world. I'm your host, Eileen Bott. Our website is www.voicesofourworld.org. You can listen, learn more about today's guests and topics, and answer our weekly question. Check it out, www.voicesofourworld.org. To learn more about Mary Knoll or try Mary Knoll magazine in English or Spanish, call 877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 877-MARYKNOLL. And please join us next time for more Voices of Our World.